We are in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, and this is one of those chapters. This one is connected. 12 to 14 basically talks about gifts that God has given people, but the church of Corinth was not using them correctly. They were using them to glorify themselves versus glorify Him and the church, edify the church, lift up the church. And so let's ask a blessing on His Word as we go into it. Father, we just ask right now that You would speak to us, that You would bless Your Word again and again and again. Lord, open our minds that we might hear and that we might understand what it is You have from us in this passage. We just thank You and we praise You for the opportunity to open Your Word and hear from You. In Your name we pray. Amen. Like I said, this is one of those passages where Paul is talking to the Corinthians and he's talking to them about the difference basically, or really their focus was on speaking in tongues. And there are people that believe that there's two different kinds of tongues. Some people want to say that it's basically kind of like what I always heard growing up, kind of like a gibberish. You guys understand what that word means. It's not an earthly language. It is an enunciation of syllables and sounds that are not in any way an earthly language. And there are people that believe that that's one of the tongues that they were speaking about in the Bible. Well, in Acts chapter 2, when they were talking about speaking in tongues, they were talking about languages. And I believe that's what they're talking about here as well, because when you go into studying what tongues actually meant, if it was singular, it was generally talking about the tongue, not the physical part of your body, but an utterance that people would speak to an idol, because an idol couldn't understand anyway. But they would speak a tongue, which would be gibberish, which would be something that they were trying to say that they were communicating with a rock. And so they were using this gibberish. And that was not in the Christian faith, but that was in the pagan society. That's what they did. And so when God gave a gift of speaking in tongues, which God did give, and it was a gift, so it wouldn't be anything that you had been taught. It was something that was given from God. And that would be a language. A language that was known in that area. Now, where they're at in Corinth, it was a busy place in that area, and there were people that it was kind of a hub of society. There was a lot of trading going on, a lot of different things going on in that surrounding area, and so when people would come in to be able to speak in tongues would be if people came in that were, say, Korean. And God gave me the gift of tongues, I might speak in Korean, though never studying Korean. That's kind of what we're talking about here. And Paul would often do that when he would go out on his mission trips, and he'll talk about that here in just a minute. But they are speaking of, when he's talking about tongues as a language that was like Korean, something like that, it was always written in plural. It was tongues, plural. But it was a gift that God had given them. But they were using it in Corinth. Paul's telling them, you see this gift from God. And God had given some of them that gift of speaking in languages that were unknown to them. But he would always do that. If he was going to do it, he was going to always have an interpreter there. And so what they were doing is they were just uttering gibberish and saying it was from God and thereby glorifying themselves, because if it was a true gift from God, then it would always edify the church. It would lift up the church. Well, if I was going to stand up here and speak in tongues and it was going to be gibberish and nobody understood it, how could that possibly lift up the church? So all it does is they would think, oh, well, if I can do this, then I'm more spiritual than you because I'm speaking in tongues. Even though none of you can understand it, I'm just speaking to God. Well, God is a God of order, and why would He take, excuse me, and give me an utterance that you don't understand, that I don't understand, and that only He understands? Why would He give something to me that I don't understand, that you don't understand, and it just returns back to Him because He would be the only one that understood it? And so it's not what a God of order would do. And so Paul is telling them, you are so caught up in desiring these gift of tongues when you should be doing something different. So let's get into this. In verse 1 of chapter 14, it says, pursue love. And that ties us back to chapter 13, where no matter what you do, if you don't have love, you do nothing. But he said, pursue love and desire spiritual gifts. So Paul wanted them to desire the spiritual gifts. Some people say, well, you know, that's selfish if you desire spiritual gifts. God wants us to draw closer to Him. God wants us to edify the church. God wants us to do things that will build up other Christians. And the spiritual gifts, the whole purpose of God giving a spiritual gift was to glorify Him and edify the church, lift up the church, draw the church closer to Him. And so he says he wanted them to desire spiritual gifts. But he said, but especially that you may prophesy. And to them, a prophecy was that time when a speaker, sometimes we just tie it into knowing future events. That's not necessarily what it relates to. That is it sometimes, but not always. It would be something that would glorify God, but a speaker at that time, that if they were going to be prophetic, they would be able to take a revelation that God had given to them and give it back to the people to edify the church. And so it was something that God had empowered the speaker to relay a message to the church body. So he says, that's what you should desire. Verse 2, it says, for he who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men, but to God. Now, if I'm speaking that gibberish, then I'm not speaking to you because nobody's going to understand it. And it says, are you really speaking to God? Because you don't even know what you're saying. So he's not actually saying that they're speaking to God, but they're claiming to speak to God. He says, for no one understands him. However, in the Spirit, he speaks mysteries, but he who prophesies speaks edification, exhortation, and comfort to men. That's the desire that God has. He wants that gift that he bestows on whoever it was, the one that's prophesying. He wants them to edify the church, to lift up the church, for exhortation, to call them to doing what they're supposed to do, and then to comfort them. And so there was a purpose for God to give that gift to somebody. And it was to affect the church, to lift up the church in those ways. Because it says, he who speaks in a tongue, the gibberish, because it's singular here, he who speaks in a tongue edifies himself. But he who prophesies edifies the church. Because the church can understand. If I'm saying something in the English language, then you have the opportunity to hear it, and you have the opportunity to grow from it. If I'm teaching something that God has revealed to me, and I share with you, if I'm reading His Word and preaching His Word to you, then you have an opportunity to take that Word and to be drawn closer to God, to edify, to lift up the church. But if I'm standing up here and I'm speaking in some gibberish that you can't understand, how is that going to draw you any closer to God? It's not. And it's not going to draw me any closer to God. And so he says that he who speaks in a tongue just is doing it to puff up himself, to edify himself, but you should prophesy to edify the church, to lift up the church. He goes on here and he says, I wish you all spoke with tongues, but even more that you prophesied. So he says, I wish you could speak in tongues because then you could reach more people. If you were able to speak in Japanese, then you could reach Japanese people. If you were able to speak in Chinese, then you could reach Chinese people. Paul's saying, I wish, because of where you live, this hub of this trading, that you would be able to speak in a language, that God would give you the ability to speak in a language, to speak to people that when they hear you speak and they know you don't understand Japanese, then it's going to catch their attention and they're going to listen. And then you're able to explain to them the gospel in Japanese, and so then they can hear the gospel in their own language and they can draw closer to God. So he says, I wish you all had the opportunity to speak, the gift to speaking in tongues, but even more that you prophesied. Because for he who prophesies is greater than he who speaks with tongues, unless indeed he interprets, that the church may receive edification. So as we read that part of that passage right there, he says, I wish you would prophesy, because that's better than somebody that speaks in tongues, unless he interprets. What that's saying is, I'd rather you just be able to plainly preach the gospel, the prophesying, telling what God has given you and giving it to someone else, unless you have the gift and you can speak in Chinese and you can explain the Chinese to somebody else. Because if I'm going to speak in Chinese, God gives me the gift to speak in Chinese, I don't understand Chinese. I don't know if anybody in here speaks Chinese. So what good is that going to do us? But if I speak in Chinese and then I'm able to, or somebody else is able to explain the gospel that I'm speaking in Chinese, then they come along, or God gives me the gift to interpret the Chinese and say, this is what it's saying. If it's not interpreted, it's a waste of time. It just edifies the person. But if it's translated, if it's interpreted, then you're able to hear the gospel translated from a different language. And so if you've ever, I remember watching some of Billy Graham's crusades years ago when he would say something and then the person beside him would say it in a different language. And it was just like, okay, it kind of takes a while, but I see. And that's kind of what he's talking about. He said, unless there's an interpreter there to explain what God has given, then nobody's going to understand it. Billy Graham could have stood up there and preached the gospel, and if nobody out there understood it, what good was it going to be? And so he's saying if there's an interpreter there, then it's the same as prophesying, because you've got somebody to interpret the language to the people that are there. It says in 6, it says, but now, brethren, if I come to you speaking with tongues, and this is languages again because it's plural, what shall I profit unless I speak to you either by revelation, by knowledge, by prophesying, or by teaching? In other words, if I come to you and I speak to you in Chinese, if I'm just speaking to say, hey, I know Chinese, when I say something about there's a restaurant downtown, what good is that? Nothing. But he says, if you come along and you're giving a revelation, something that God has revealed to you, if you're sharing a knowledge that God has given, if you're prophesying something that God has given to you, you're relating onto Him, or you're teaching a doctrine that is from God, if that's what you're doing with these languages, then it's good. If you're not, if you're just rambling off in some other language, then it's not doing any good. Says, even things without life, whether flute or harp, when they make a sound, unless they make a distinction in the sounds, how will it be known what is piped or played? So he's relating a musical instrument to the speaking in tongues. Sometimes when I get up here and I try to play the keyboard and I'm just sitting here touching notes, it's just making sound. If I'm just going to come up and just ramble off in Chinese and never present the gospel through an interpreter, I might as well be sitting up here plucking on a guitar that I have no idea what I'm doing, or pounding on a keyboard and having no idea what the notes are. It's just noise unless it has a pattern or a rhythm or something that God has a purpose for. It says, for if the trumpet makes an uncertain sound, who will prepare for battle? I love watching John Wayne, and he's always telling the bugler to sound a recall, or to do this or to do that, and the bugler has a different sound for everything that they're supposed to do, to call people back in or to charge or whatever. But if he just got on there and just blew one long note or just tooted his horn just because, hey, I've got the bugle, nobody's going to pay attention. So that's what Paul's saying. If we're just going to make noise, and that's what they were doing in Corinth, they were just making noise. If that's all we're going to do, then we're wasting our time and we're not edifying the church. 9, he says, so likewise, you, unless you utter by the tongue words easy to understand, how will it be known what is spoken? And so if it's not understandable, then it's a waste. For you will be speaking into the air. There are, it may be, so many kinds of languages in the world, and none of them is without significance. Therefore, if I do not know the meaning of the language, I shall be a foreigner to him who speaks, and he who speaks will be a foreigner to me. Even so, since you are zealous for spiritual gifts, let it be for the edification of the church that you seek to excel. They were just wanting to understand a language of people, and they were just wanting to be able to speak the language. They were wanting that gift of tongues to where if somebody come in and I could just speak their language, that would be so cool if I could just automatically speak Korean. I had a roommate in college. He was from Samoa. His name was Lauli Filippo Leatuala. Yeah, that's a mouthful. And he was the coolest guy, and we would have Bible studies and stuff, and when somebody would call on him to pray, he would pray in his natural tongue. And man, the first time he did that I just sat there and stared at him. Because he wasn't trying to be, he was just, that was his heart language, that was his home language, and he just was speaking in Samoan, and I'm sitting there thinking, I didn't understand a word you said when he's praying. And then I got to thinking, you know, I don't need to know what you said because God knew what you said. And so he wasn't trying to edify himself. He was just speaking to God. But there were people in Corinth that were wanting to be able to say, man, if I could just speak Samoan, then those Samoan people would be so impressed because how does that white guy know Samoan, you know, type of deal. And it was just that's what they were doing. They wanted the gift to edify themselves. It wasn't about presenting the gospel. It was about impressing other people and making other people think they were something special. And he says, that's not what it's for. He says, you're zealous for spiritual gifts, but not for the right reason. And on another note, just kind of a side note, you know, when my roommate began to speak in Samoan in his prayers, and that's the only time I think I ever heard him speak Samoan. But one thing that just so blew my mind, and I don't know why I had never thought of it, was like, God understood him the same as he did me. Our God is amazing. Our God is amazing. But anyway, in verse 13 it says, therefore let him who speaks in a tongue pray that he may interpret. Because if you're just going to speak gibberish, then you're not going to interpret. But if you're speaking in a language, then if I come in here, I need to, and I'm going to speak in a language, whether it be Samoan or Chinese or Japanese or Korean or whatever that language is, Paul's saying, if you're going to do that, pray that you may interpret. Because if you interpret, are you going to interpret what you say if it's not the gospel? Because that's what they were doing. They were just saying it just to be saying it. Because they could speak Samoan or whatever language. But if you're praying to God that you could interpret that gift that He's given you, then you're probably going to be thinking about what you're saying, what God is saying through you to the people. And that would be glorifying and edifying the church, or glorifying God and edifying the church instead of yourself. So he says, pray that you may interpret. For if I pray in one tongue and my spirit prays, my understanding is unfruitful. In other words, if I don't understand what I'm saying, what is the conclusion then? I will pray with the spirit and I will also pray with the understanding. That's what he wants us to do. We want to pray with understanding so that we can glorify God with what we're saying. Otherwise, if you bless with the spirit, how will someone who occupies the place of the uninformed say amen. What he's saying is, if I'm going to come in here and I'm going to preach in Samoan because God has given me that gift, how can anybody out there, when I say something, how can they say amen to that when they don't understand what I'm saying? How can a person understand what you're saying unless there's an interpreter? And so Paul is trying to get them to understand it's not about you. It's about people learning what prophecy that you might be saying if there was a gift. And some of the gifts that they had were truly speaking in tongues, speaking in other languages. But they were just doing it just to glorify themselves because there was no interpreter. And so he says, that person that's uninformed, that person that's an unbeliever, how could they ever agree with you in what you're saying, or, you know, whether you're giving thanks or what you're doing, since he does not understand what you say? For you indeed give thanks well, but the other is not edified. In other words, you may be wanting to sit there and just ramble off with gibberish, just thinking, God, I'm just letting you take over, because when I don't understand, the Spirit can intercede, and that is true. But with what Paul is saying to the Corinthians, how is that helping anybody else? That other person that doesn't know Jesus can't agree with what you're saying. They can't understand what you're saying unless there's an interpreter. And if they can't understand, you may be truly giving thanks, but the other person is not affected. They're not edified. They're not lifted up. Verse 18, it says, I thank my God that I speak with tongues more than you all. Paul is saying here, I praise God that I speak in tongues more than you. And what he's basically saying is, on his mission trips, Paul was probably in a lot of places where God gave him the gift of speaking in tongues, because he would be in a place that he may not know their language. And so because of that, they would be able to understand. And he says, I'm glad that I was able to speak tongues more than you because of all the places I've been. Yet in the church, I would rather speak five words with my understanding that I may teach others also than 10,000 words in a tongue. Paul's saying, I would rather be able to explain clearly and understand what I'm explaining to people than 10,000 words of uttering that something that nobody understood. Paul's like, it's great to have this speaking in tongues, but it does nothing if it doesn't edify the church. The purpose is to edify the church. And so he says, rather just say five words of understanding than 10,000 that were not understood. Verse 20, he goes on to tell them again. He says, brethren, do not be children in understanding. However, in malice be babes, but in understanding be mature. Here he's telling them, you understand very little. I don't want you to be like a child who understands very little. That's what he's saying there in that verse. You need to be understanding like an adult, as a person that's had time to understand. Don't be children, someone that doesn't understand things. However, in malice, in the wrong that you're doing, be babes. You know, be innocent like doves. Be innocent like babies. In that attitude towards malice, but in understanding, be mature. Take time to grow in your understanding, because if you're going to share, if you're going to use the gift, then you need to do it with understanding. If you're preaching, if you're teaching, if whatever you're doing is without understanding, you're doing nothing but puffing yourself up. So that's what he's telling them here. In 21 it says, in the law it is written, with men of other tongues and other lips, I will speak to this people. And yet for all that, they will not hear me. It's a reference to the Old Testament saying that basically they were going to be in captivity and they were going to be in a place where the people that were in charge were going to be speaking a different language. When they were in Babylon, some of the things, the people that they were slaves to, different places, they were captive to people that spoke men of other tongues and other lips. They're going to be speaking above you, and you're not going to hear. Therefore, in 22, therefore tongues are for a sign, not to those who believe, but to unbelievers. Here he's referring to understanding what the purpose of the tongues was. At Pentecost, when the people came in and they were, I'm just using language as we know, Japanese and Korean people coming in, and all of a sudden the apostles began to speak in those languages. They were unbelievers, and so, wait, how can we possibly be hearing in our own language, in our native language, by these people? And so it brought attention to it, and they were unbelievers. And so it was a sign not to those who believe that were standing there, but to those unbelievers that come in and heard in their own language. That's what the tongues was for. But prophesying is not for the unbeliever, but for those who believe. So in other words, the prophesying was to be sharing of the message God had relayed to them, to Christians, so it would lift them up, so it would draw them together, so that they would be where God wanted them to be. It would edify the church, the believers. So the prophesying, he said, I would rather you be lifting up the church. Therefore, if the whole church comes together in one place and all speak it with tongues, and there come in those who are uninformed or unbelievers, will they not say that you are all out of your mind? And so Paul is saying, if you're all sitting there as a church group and this Korean person comes in and you're sitting there and you're just speaking in all these different languages and nobody's interpreting anything, they're going to just turn around and walk out. Because it's chaos and nobody understands what anybody's saying. And so they're going to think you're out of your mind. But if they come in, but if all prophesy and the unbeliever or the uninformed person comes in and he is convinced by all, and he is convicted by all. In other words, not all the people, but by the things that are said. The Korean guy comes in, and he's able to hear prophesying. And whether he hears it through an interpreter or however he hears it, if he can understand the prophesying, when a person comes in that doesn't believe, hears the prophesying, and he begins to be convinced of the cross and convicted by the cross, then he's able to understand it. And thus, the secrets of his heart are revealed. And so, falling down on his face, he will worship God and report that God truly is among you. So that's the differences. If people come in and they can understand the prophesying, the teaching of the Word of God, the relaying of the revelation that has been revealed to them, if they come in and they can understand it, then they have a chance to be convinced and convicted and repent and fall down and worship God. And they're going to acknowledge the fact that God is truly there. But if it's all total chaos, everybody's speaking in tongues, which is what was going on in Corinth, nobody understood anything, and an unbeliever comes in and hears all these people just trying to speak in different tongues, he's just going to turn around and leave. And so Paul is telling them, you need to understand that the gift is truly a gift, but it has to be used with understanding and in the right way. He goes on in 26. He says, how is it then, brethren, whenever you come together, each of you has a psalm, has a teaching, has a tongue, has a revelation, has an interpretation. Let all these things be done for edification. If anyone speaks in a tongue, let there be two, or at the most, three, each in turn, and let one interpret. But if there is no interpreter, let him keep silent in church, and let him speak to himself and to God. So he's saying, if you come in here, and we all come in, and let's say we have 75 people come in here, and everybody that stands up and has something that a revelation, a teaching, an understanding, all those things that it just listed there, an interpretation, a revelation, a psalm, a tongue, all these things, and you come in, says every one of them needs to be for edification of the church, not for the individual. He says, if you speak in tongues, there should only be two or three. Each should have an interpretation, because it does no good if Debbie comes in and speaks in Japanese and Kay comes in and speaks in Chinese and they sit down and nobody understands anything. So there needs to be an interpreter for it to glorify God and to edify the church. It says if there's not, then let him first keep silent. For you can all prophesy one by one, that all may learn and that all may be encouraged. And the spirits of the prophets are subject to the prophets. For God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all the churches of all the saints. So he's saying that when you come in, it needs to be orderly. Their worship service should be orderly. They were having people come in and just everybody was standing up speaking in tongues and nobody was interpreting and it was total chaos. He's saying, no, it needs to be two or three. And in that, there needs to be an interpreter and it needs to be organized and it needs to be something that is glorifying to God and edifying to the church. And so he gets to them and he's telling them, this is your order of service. And it seems like he really changes where he's going here on verse 34. He goes, let your women keep silent in the churches, for they are not permitted to speak, but they are to be submissive as the law also says. And if they want to learn something, let them ask their own husbands at home, for it is shameful for women to speak in church. Now, this verse is taken so out of context, okay? Because there was a specific group in Corinth that wanted to run the church. Because Paul even says, and I've got it written down here somewhere, I can't remember exactly where it's at, but he talks in Corinthians about the fact that women were to prophesy. And so he's not contradicting himself. He's talking about, let your women, those of you that are using tongues the wrong way, your women are the ones that are going about this all wrong, and they need to keep silent because they don't know what they're talking about. He's talking about to a specific group of people here. He is not talking to women in general. And that's where so many churches, so many problems come, because people don't look this up. They don't study it, because if they did, they'd understand that Paul himself in the same book says that women are to prophesy and women are prophesying. So he's not going to say, in one spot, you need to prophesy, and in another spot, say, you need to shut up. He's not going to say that, but he's talking here to a specific group. Just like when he's talking to the Corinthian church here about them, the ones that were speaking in tongues. He's talking to a specific group, and he's talking here to that specific group of women who were causing trouble, who were wanting to make it about them. And he says, they need to keep quiet. And if they've got an issue, they need to make sure that they settle it at home, because what they're doing is shameful in the church, because they're trying to make it about them. Verse 36, he says, or did the word of God come originally from you? They were so puffed up that they thought they were the first church of God. It's like we're First Baptist or we're First Christian Church Corinth. This is where the gospel started. That's actually what they're thinking. And he says, did the word of God come originally from you? I mean, they were like, we're it. We're the top of the holy of holy people. That's how they were treating things. That's how these women were. That's how these men were. As they're doing everything to edify themselves, it's all about us. We were the biggest church. We were the group that started the gospel. And he's saying, the word of God, did it come originally from you? And he's like, of course not. But he doesn't say that. But that's the way the question is answered. Or was it you only that it reached? And they had blinders on. There was nothing other than their church. The gospel didn't go anywhere else. It didn't come from anywhere else. It was all about us. And Paul is like, you need to understand, it didn't start with you. It didn't stop with you. If anyone thinks himself to be a prophet or spiritual, let him acknowledge that the things which I write to you are the commandments of God. So Paul is saying, how can you say that you understand the gospel when you're not acknowledging the things that I'm writing? If you want to acknowledge that you're spiritual or you're a prophet, and you're not going to agree with the commandments that I'm writing to you about from God, then you're wrong. But if anyone is ignorant, let him be ignorant. If you want to sit out there and say, hey, I don't care what Paul writes, Paul's gospel is not real. Our church is the only church. This is where the gospel started. This is where the gospel ends. And Paul said, if you want to be ignorant, be ignorant. He's telling them point blank, you are not what you think you are. But if you want to stay ignorant, let him be ignorant. Therefore, brethren, desire earnestly to prophesy and do not forbid to speak with tongues. Let all things done be done decently and in order. So Paul is saying prophecy needs to take place. In other words, the spreading of God's word, the spreading of the message God has given somebody. And again, it's talking about the gift of God that is given to somebody in an occasion when the power of God has given them something to say. They're to say it. They're to say it clearly. They're to say it decently and done in order. Don't forbid speaking in tongues because it is a gift of God. Now, I don't believe it's used anymore like it was back in this time. There's only two books, maybe, I think, in the New Testament that even speak of tongues. But each time it's talking about the languages. It's talking about the edification of the church, the exhortation of the people. And so that's what it's talking about. He says, don't forbid it because it's a gift of God. But whatever you do, let it be done orderly. Now, as we look at this chapter, this is a chapter, and we think, okay, today, how does this affect us? And that's what I've been praying about all week, actually for 2 weeks, because we were supposed to do this one last week. Because we don't talk about speaking in tongues. There are still people out there that say that you can be taught, that you can teach speaking in tongues. But if that was the case, then it wouldn't be a gift of the Holy Spirit. But they want to understand. They want to do that. That's, if he wants to be ignorant, let him be ignorant. It's kind of what I read. But I think for us, what I get out of this, and it really doesn't have anything to do with speaking in tongues, and not so much, I guess, yeah, it does a little bit with prophecy, but it's the understanding of who you can reach. Paul's talking to them about speaking in tongues and being able to reach people that you normally wouldn't be able to reach. God has given you a gift to speak. You know, if the Holy Spirit comes upon you and you speak Samoan, God has given you a gift to speak to the Samoan people out there. But you have to understand there has to be an interpreter. It has to be understood and explained to them. And as I'm praying over that this week, I'm thinking, God has given each one of us a person or people to talk to explain the gospel to. You will be able to reach people I can't reach. And it may be not, maybe we're not talking languages here, but maybe because of where you're at in life, the stage of life you're in, the stage of life I'm in, the job you have, the job I have, things like that. Because of that, we have an opportunity to reach different people. We have to be able to present a gospel that we understand and present it to them in a way that they can understand it. That's what God calls us to do. It's supposed to be about Him. It's supposed to glorify Him and edify the church. If we ever start doing it, and I don't mean the First Southern Baptist Church, but God's people as a whole, it's to lift them up. It's to draw them closer to Him. If we do that, then that's what He's called us to do. If it ever becomes about anything about us, if it ever comes about edifying me as an individual or us as a group of people here at First Southern Baptist Church, if it ever begins to edify just us, we are wrong. We have to understand that it is to lift up and edify the body of Christ. We present the gospel to who we can. God gives us gifts, different ones, to different people, to glorify Him. We need to share the gospel in a way that unbelievers can understand it so that We can use all the church words. We can use all the things like that. And when we start talking justification and sanctification and glorification to people that have never been in church, man, they're going to think you're talking Chinese, and they're going to turn around and walk out. So what we have to do is we have to understand enough and present it, what God has given to us. And this is my understanding. What God has given me, I take and I give to somebody else. And that's what happens. And when we're able to do that, then that's when they can be convinced, convicted, and fall down on their face and worship God. Not because of anything I've done, but because of the fact that that last verse says, when they fall down on their face and worship God and report that God is truly in that place. And that's our goal, is if God is truly in this place, then when people come in, they will understand that. They won't go out thinking, man, he just screamed at me and he's out of his mind. But they will come to a point of understanding, man, God was in the worship. God was in the Word. God was in the smiles of the people, the touch. That's what we want. It needs to be order and understanding. That's what God calls us. He desires prophecy above tongues unless there's interpretation. I think the interpretation is when you break down the gospel and share it with somebody in a way that maybe they've never understood before, because Pastor C was always talking a language they didn't understand. So you can take it and bring it down to a language that they can understand because they speak your language. They're your kind of people. Okay. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for your word. Lord, we just ask that you would open our eyes, because we do want to see Jesus. Open our ears to listen. Man, just what we sang. It's what we want. Lord, we pray your spirit would move. We pray we would have an encounter with you, not just now, but every day. We praise you and we thank you. Teach us to love you more. In Jesus' name, amen.